Luke chapter 21. The message today is a continuation of the message last week, emphasizing the great rewards for enduring to the end. I want to read you four scriptures. Luke 21, helping us to interpret what I will quote to you. It says in Matthew 10 and in Matthew 24 and in Mark 13, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, in Luke chapter 21, look at verse 17, because this is the way that Luke helps us to interpret those words. Verse 18, and not a hair of your head shall perish. In your endurance, you shall win your soul. The word patience is the same word endure. He that endureth to the end, one is a verb, this is a noun, it's the same word. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. In your endurance, and it can be translated either as an imperative, possess your souls this way by your endurance, or a promise. In your patience, you shall possess your souls, or win your souls. More of that later, God willing. Chapter 22. Now, listen to this. Verse 28. The Savior is speaking to his disciples, and he says, but ye are they that have continued with me in my temptation. Now, you don't realize it, but the word continued is the same root word as the word endured. Let me get this out of the way. The word that's translated endure to the end is hupa meno, and this word continue is dia meno. The same word, the two different prepositions. Perhaps more of that later. But, verse 28, you are they that have continued with me in my temptation, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and ye shall sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, turn to Hebrews 10, verse 36. Hebrews 10, 36. For you have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a very little while, he that cometh shall come and shall not tarry, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, let us know that there are so few things that we fully understand in this world. We understand nothing of ourselves of the next world. There is something within us that tells us that there is a world to come, a judgment, a God we have to face, but we know nothing for sure except what thy word tells us. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, and then our hearts understand, as your word unfolds, the spiritual things of life, all the illumination of the truth of heaven and hell, and living and dying, and all things that pertain to not only living as creatures, but also as those who are created in the image and likeness of God. And we desire to know about those things, because that was told us that somewhere, in some place, we shall live forever. Our heart's desire is that that place shall be with you. Thy Son said, in my Father's house. We are thankful that there is such a place. He also told us of another place prepared for the devil and his angels. Our Father, let us make sure that our place of abode in the life to come is in your house. So this day, teach us from the portions that we've read, prepare the heart by thy Spirit, and unless you empower, Father, the words are useless. So grant that for us, and indeed, let us see thy Son glorified. And while we are praying for ourselves, remember those men that are facing death before they do, as that thief on the cross faced death. He came to himself, and he called upon the name of thy Son. For them, our Father, we pray, as well as for ourselves. You know our unworthiness to proclaim the name of Christ, but you have made us sufficient, and you promised to cleanse us if we confess our sins, and that is what we do. So, glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The words for this second week that I am telling you about seem so simple. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. And yet if it meant your life, you could not tell me precisely what those words mean unless you had some direct line to God and communications that I do not have or a genius that I do not have, because they seem so simple and straightforward, and yet they're so complicated. That is why it is necessary for me to tell you more about these things, because if I ask you, what does it mean to endure? How much do you have to endure? What is the end? What is the salvation that is spoken about? He that endureth to the end shall be saved. So all you have to know is what it means to endure, what the end means, and what the save means. That's all you have to know. And it's not as simple as you would think. What is so good about preaching is that people with preconceived ideas, you may preach to them, and they are interpreting something that you've never told them. Now, I did not tell you exactly what this portion meant last week, but you already interpreted it as I was telling you. But as I think back, I did not give you the exact definitions and interpretations of these things, and yet in your mind, it gave an interpretation to the passage. Just to make sure that you did not misunderstand what I said last week, I told you that no person has ever, by working and living for God, merited salvation. I told you that. And I told you that no one, having received the gift of God, which is eternal life, a free gift, he never lost it because of anything he failed to do. I preface these remarks with those remarks again, because you're liable to think that is what I'm telling you. But I'm not telling you that. What I am telling you is the solemnity of the words that Christ has placed upon his hearers in saying that there are times coming when the love of the many shall wax cold. And because of that, your treatment shall not only be that of persecution and hatred and rejection by all nations, but by God's professed people themselves. And these are the conditions under which the words are uttered, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You say, well, it certainly sounds as if this enduring entails difficult things, and it does for some. Alas, if you look at the endurance that David the king went through, and then you consider what Solomon his son went through, there is no comparison. David was a man of war. Solomon was a king of peace and of glory, and this is the way it is with people who live at different times and in different places. We are here. What if you lived in Baghdad? You say, I see. So the same time, but a different place, and then consider our Savior and the apostles in that first century, and then consider yourself here in the 20th century. You say, yes. So the time and place, it means different things to different people. So the enduring to the end of necessity always means this. At whatever age in which you live, it means enduring to the end. I had to laugh when I read the words that Christ spoke, because I wonder if you grasp them. The Savior said to his disciples, our Lord has lived a perfect life for some 33 years. And he says to the disciples, he said, you are they who have continued with me. You've endured in my temptation. You say, well, praise the Lord. Then the end is now. No. It was essential that they endure to the end of Christ's life when he was on earth with them. And now another beginning commences, and they have to endure to the end of their life on earth as well. So just when you think you're getting to the end where the reward is going to come into view, the Savior says, now, if they have hated me, they are going to hate you. He said, I have been sent by my Father, and as my Father sent me, even so now send I you. So there are cycles of enduring. But thank God for this. The disciples endured to the end of Christ's life. You say, but they all forsook him and fled. I'm so glad that they did. It means so much to me that they forsook him and fled. Because if I looked at their lives, and their lives were perfect, if I looked at the prophets in the Old Testament and their lives were perfect, then when Christ said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved, and I looked at my life and yours, I would tremble and I would be without hope. But inasmuch as the Savior has looked upon his disciples and said, you are they who have continued with me in my temptations, then there is hope. Because this helps me to interpret what the word enduring to the end means. As for the length of that endurance, it means to the end. It means as long as Christ is on earth and you are with him, you have to endure. It means that when Christ has gone back to heaven and you are left here, you have to endure until you go to heaven by way of death or Christ comes from heaven to receive you. That is the extent of the endurance to the end. It is not like some who work so long and then they are permitted to retire. It does not mean that you can endure for so long and then cease living for God. It means you endure to the end, however many cycles there are in your life, until the end that comes for you, or the end when Christ comes for you. That is the length of the endurance. It means to the end. Nobody else, if they gave it a moment's thought, could think it meant anything else. As if I could live for God 5 years, and that would be sufficient, or 10, or 50, and that would be sufficient. You have to endure to the end. But what does the enduring mean? Well, I'm so glad that I can tell you what it does not mean. It will help you to understand. It does not mean sinless perfection. If it did, none of those that claim sinless perfection who are deceived would be in heaven, and you would not be in heaven. Heaven would be occupied with one man, our Lord Jesus Christ. It does not mean sinless perfection. And at the same time, I've heard so many people say this, and I remember one coming to me saying, I'm going to remain faithful to that denomination in which I was brought up. This one happened to be a Methodist, and some will say, well, I'm enduring in the Catholic religion. And it does not mean even remaining faithful to the assemblies. It does not mean that. You say, so it doesn't mean remaining loyal to a certain group of people, even the brethren? No. Well, it must mean enduring in a strict dispensational interpretation of the Bible and of the coming of Christ. I know a brother that you know, And he was telling me words like this. He said, concerning the coming of the Lord, there was a time that if they did not interpret it the way that we do, that I'm telling you now, they will look upon as heretics. We would doubt if they were saved. And some people think that. You have to endure in the interpretation of certain scriptures, or else you are not enduring. But it does not mean that at all. There are some scriptures, indeed, that you must abide by. But it does not mean any of these things that I've told you. But enduring, from a comparison of all the scriptures that you read about enduring and those that are spoken of as having endured, it does not mean perfect victory in every trial of life, but it means an overall endurance and victory for your life as a whole. You say, what do you mean? Tell me any man who lived perfectly on earth, say thy Savior. You say, why no one? Did David live perfectly? You say, no, he sinned. But tell me about his life as a whole. You say, yes. He had his failures and his restorations, but his life as a whole. Tell me about Elijah. You say, Elijah, I remember when Jezebel threatened him. He ran for his life, and he said, oh, God, I'm the only one that's left. Yes, he did. Tell me about his life as a whole. You say, he endured. Why, of course he did. Tell me about Simon Peter. You say, I remember Simon Peter denying his Savior. Yes. Tell me about his life as a whole. You say, his life as a whole. So enduring doesn't mean every particular in your life. If it did, the moment you failed once, then all chances of enduring to the end would have been over. And I am reluctant to give you the truth of this interpretation, because some of you who may have been stirred up to do more for God can say, oh, so I do not have to live perfectly for God, so I can just look back on things here and there that I've done for God. No. The things that you look back on here and there are like the sins of David. Tell me, how many sins that are great in the life of David can you number? You say, I remember Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba. Yes. And I remember numbering. Yes. Give me more. You say, fine. I see. So what you're thinking about are the one or two failures in the life of a man, whereas David's life as a whole was filled with successes. But what you're thinking about for your life, to give you a peace that is a false peace, you are looking at one or two good things you did in your life and overlooking all the failures. Whereas God speaks about the one or two failures or more in the lives of some. I'm speaking of gross failures. And you are indifferent with them because your failures are many, and you look at one or two good things and say, well, I can rest now. But whereas you look at the prophets that are given as examples, and their failures are few, and their life as a whole is good. So what does it mean to endure to the end? It means a man's life as a whole, not every particular. Therefore, I can illustrate it by David, by Elijah, by Abraham, by Simon Peter. Their life as a whole was one of endurance. How do I know? Because the Savior said so. He said, you have endured. You have continued with me through my temptations. That is why I'm so glad. And the Savior said concerning them, Lord, I want to be with me in glory, that they may behold me as I was with you before the world was. You understand? So I'm not giving any false comfort to you. Do not look back on your life and say, well, I remember once of making a profession of faith, and I read the Bible sometimes, and I can remember things that I did. What you must do is this. Indeed, think back on the failures, but thank God they can be put aside if your life as a whole is consistent. But this life that you have lived does not merit salvation for you. It is simply a proof that the faith that you have in you is living faith, and the life of Christ is lived out in the world. That is what God is having us to understand. So that is something about endurance now. What endurance means. Now, it says you endure to the end. I told you about that. For us, it means enduring our lifetime or until our Savior comes. But those that are going through the great tribulation, I did tell you this. It meant their endurance, however much pressure was put upon them by the Antichrist to receive the mark of the beast, they must endure, they must resist. And I told you last week that if you're truly born of God, God empowers to live as well as empowers to save. And none of you who have false profession can endure to the end, because you're like those foolish virgins. You have that outward appearance of virginity, and yet when it comes to the oil, you have no oil. You're like the man who came into the marriage feast, but you have not on a wedding garment. And as the Savior, and was asked, who then can be saved? And the Savior said, with men it's impossible, and not one of you can endure to the end without the empowering of the Spirit of God in you. The same God who must save you by His grace must empower you by His grace. And I rejoice in this, that with the salvation comes the grace to endure. As a young man, I took such comfort in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able. You see, that's a promise. The promise that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. There is a promise that if you have called upon the name of the Lord, no temptation can overcome you. God supplies the power. All right. Shall be saved. You don't realize that you're reading in your Bible this word when you do not realize that it's this word. This woman that was coming to touch the hem of His garment, she said, if I but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be healed. That's the word saved. When Peter and the disciples are ready to be swamped by the storm in the lake, they say, save, Lord, we perish. And so, save can refer to your body, the bodily preservation of your life. It can refer to your health, or it can refer to your soul. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But yet that can refer to your life, but this time it cannot. That's why I wanted to read to you from Matthew 10, where it says, and fear not them that kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do, but fear him who after he hath killed the body hath power to cast into hell. And so that's the salvation of the soul. And what I read you in Hebrews 10, it said, we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. And I assure all of you who have faith from God that you are not going to, as a whole, shrink back unto perdition, because the God who gave you salvation gave you the power to endure. He told you that that would be your portion. And how great is God's expectation for us to endure. I think of this. When times that are so crushing come upon us, you would ask, does God know? Listen to what he says to the church at Smyrna. He says, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. Be thou faithful unto death. You say, then the Lord, he said they were going to die? Yes. He didn't do anything about it? He did nothing about it, except exhort them, be thou faithful unto death, and now the greatness of the rewards, and I will give you the crown of life. He expects that endurance. An entire hour could be taken considering Christ's endurance. Considered him who endured such contradiction of sinners. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne on high. You say, Christ endured. Yes, perfectly. And the disciples endured imperfectly, but they endured, and God expects us to endure. And for some of it, like in Smyrna, it's be thou faithful unto death. And others, for us, it seems to have been this. You'll find it in 2 Thessalonians and Galatians 6. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Do you understand? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And it says in 2 Thessalonians, be not weary in well-doing. It's simply living a Christian life down here without giving up, without fainting. It's carrying on. It's being found in faith when Jesus Christ comes back. And this is what the Savior says. And he's going to make allowance for everything. He doesn't accept it. He never allows it. He wants you to be perfect. You're not going to be, but he wants you to be perfect. And if relatively you are and endure, that he gives such promises as these, you are they that have continued with me in my temptations. Consider your life. Can you say that? That you've gone through your life with Christ. You have continued with him in his temptations. And when men have taken his name in vain, you have not taken his name in vain. You have witnessed for him. You are not of the world as he is, not of the world. Have you endured all of those temptations from Satan, the world, the flesh, that Christ has? Christ perfectly overcame. But he said, you are they that have continued with me in my temptations. Think of that. Look over my life. Lord, have I continued with you in your temptations? Can you say that? I have lived with you and continued with you in your temptations. Isn't that remarkable? Enoch walked with God, and the disciples walked with the Savior, and they continued with him in his temptations. And this is what he says. He says, you that have done this, your reward is going to be great. What is your reward? He said, I appoint unto you a kingdom. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. There are aspects of it that are, and he says, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father appointed me. That's what he's going to give you for enduring, a kingdom. And he said, in that kingdom, you may eat and drink with me at my table, fellowship with the Son of God in that kingdom to come. And he said, you shall sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, ruling over men rather than being ruled over by men. These are some of the rewards of endurance. So Christ puts it before us. He tells us that the gift of God is eternal life. It's free. But he says, endure, because great are the rewards for endurance. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that you say to us, looking unto Jesus, we are so glad that we are to consider him. But you have told us also, our Father, take for an example of suffering and of endurance the prophets that spoke unto you in the name of the Lord. We call them blessed that endured. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the end of the Lord is full of pity and merciful. And we are thankful that that has been our experience with you. And so, our Father, taking into consideration him who endured the cross for us, let us take up our cross. Let us be prepared to endure whatever privations of life and whatever burdens of life he sees fit to place upon us. And let us look for him, that reward, being with him in eternity, eating and drinking with him, and being those who reign the earth with Christ when he comes. Our Father, how great is the reward for those that endure. May we be among those who are overcomers, and may thy Son be proud of us when he returns. In his name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.